Ready? This is the open session of the July 16th Pacifica National Board meeting. We're starting at 6:15. I'll ask our recording secretary, Richard Uzzell, to take the roll.
Okay, am I on? Sharon Avmir, no, he's excused. Okay, Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Andre. Joe Gonzalez. Sean O'Brien.
Present.
Leslie Radford.
Here.
Summer Reese. Rico Ross.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Alberto Loretti is excused. George Ryder.
Here.
Richard Uzzell here. Nia Bediaco. Kathy Davis. Jennifer Jaeger.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Alonzo Brown.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Kimry Orendorf.
Present.
Marcel Reed.
Here.
Jim Bennett.
Here.
Afia Wangaza. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Richard. Our first item on the agenda is to, I don't see it here, but it should be to approve the minutes from the April open meeting. You've all been sent them earlier on in the day, at least last night as well. Is there any objection to approving the minutes from the April meeting? Okay. Hearing none, the meetings, the minutes are approved. We next want to set the agenda for the rest of the open sessions, which is tonight and tomorrow, and from 11 to 2 o'clock on Sunday. There is a mistake in the agenda as you have it in the board. The time certain for listener comments is listed in the book as 12 p.m. It should be 1:30 p.m. That's what the coordinating committee decided on. My mistake in putting it in at the wrong time. So we'll just assume that's changed. And that's for Sunday. For tonight, it's 9 o'clock for listener comments, and for Saturday afternoon, it's 11:30. So, are there any changes to the agenda? Well, Kathy's not here. We discussed adding a breakout session for Saturday morning. Would anyone like to move that?
So moved.
Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay. Let's put it after the NES report and before unfinished business. And we'll allocate, 45 minutes? 45 minutes, hearing no objection. Yes? Yep.
Had asked for 15 minutes or 10? Oh, sorry.
Was it for audit? You have 3 minutes?
Well, for those who didn't have some motion to before us, I gave 3 minutes.
I sent you my motion, which you acknowledged that you received.
That's in new business. Is that a motion coming from the audit committee?
Yes.
Are we talking about the ones about
the 990 motion that came from the committee?
Okay, I missed that one. So you would like 15 minutes for that?
Well, I could do 10 or 15, and then to also approve re-signing of the auditor. It shouldn't take too long, so if you want to do 10 minutes, but leave me.
I think we already did that. We just changed the procedure. We didn't change that decision.
Okay. Yeah. But I still need to
The 10 minutes, is 10 minutes good for the 9:90? Okay, so there's no objection. We'll change the audit committee to 10 minutes instead of 3 minutes. Any other changes? Bill?
I'd like to move that item, what's the word it is? It's Uzel Motion H to amend the affiliate structure motion. Be moved up to following the affiliates coordinator report tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, so that that's a motion which is on the unfinished business, and it would be moved up to. Let's see. There's only 30 minutes. Actually, there's only 20 minutes after the affiliates coordinator report, and before adjourning, and we were going to take comments.
Would that have come up?
What's that?
Would that have come up before that time already, or?
It depends upon how quickly we go through the unfinished business. It's pretty hard to say.
How about first thing the next morning?
Okay, at 11 a.m. on. On Sunday? Is there any objection to that?
Yes.
Okay. Bill, you want to speak to your reasons for that?
Well, when we took this up in L.A. in April, we didn't get an opportunity to hear from the affiliates.
Before we do that, is there a second to... Do we need seconds for this? I think we do.
Yeah, we're amending the agenda.
Yeah. It only requires a majority, but I guess it requires a second. Is there any second to Bill's motion?
Second.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. So, we didn't get to hear from the affiliates, and I've heard since then from a number of them that feel that we might change our minds after we hear from them, and so if we leave it where it is on the agenda, we may not get to it for 6 months. And so I feel the appropriate time to do it would be shortly after we hear from the affiliates during this meeting. And so okay. I'd like the time certain for whatever this first thing Sunday morning then?
That would be the first thing Sunday morning, yes. Okay. Alex, you objected. Do you want to speak against it? Or?
Well, it's a motion to undo a motion we already passed. We already had this discussion. I don't know what the point is in having it again. When my esteemed colleague says we haven't heard from the affiliates, well, I'm sure there's lots of affiliates we haven't heard from. I don't know how you can tell from whoever is here to make comments that we will hear from a representative sample of affiliates. I mean, was there any kind of scientific survey done of the affiliates?
As far as I know, what was done was an invitation to call in was put out widely. Can we go to a vote on this? Does anybody else want to speak to it? Okay.
This is just to move it on the agenda.
This is just to move it on the agenda, right.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The way that it was handled in Los Angeles was not according to the standard procedures of PNB, and it was brought up, and the affiliates themselves were not aware of this action being taken. I think that it is not very wise for this board to, if it's as it has acted in a capricious fashion, it's not wise for it to continue to do so.
Sean?
You know, I really appreciate it when people say we don't do things according to procedure. They just lay these charges out there. I wish they would cite specific examples of exactly what we aren't doing wrong or how we're violating the rules, because without that part of the argument, I just think it's sour grapes.
Do you want to respond, Campbell?
Surely, this did not come from the Affiliates Task Force. It was not passed by the Affiliates Task Force. It was just introduced on the fly.
That does not make it illegal.
I don't think anybody goes to jail for it, but I think it's improper procedure, and it's an improper procedure in the way that the PNB has operated in the past.
Does anyone want to speak against? I take it that's an argument for moving it. Is there anyone who will speak against it? Sean?
They still have not laid out where the improper procedure is. We don't need something to come from the affiliates task force. Any member on this board can offer a motion. There was nothing. I reject the whole idea that we did something wrong.
Let me tell you what the improper procedure was.
Please.
A motion introduced by a member needs to be put on the agenda 7 days in advance. Motions from committee can be brought up in the committee report.
And what did we not do?
That motion was not put on the agenda 7 days in advance. And if it had been, it would have been in new business. What's on the floor, Afia, is a motion to move the motion that is in unfinished business to rescind the motion which established the present framework, which is your motion, to establish the present framework for the affiliates task force, and to move that motion to rescind up to 11 a.m. on Sunday from where it is now, which is in unfinished business.
Point of information?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, how did we pass that thing if we didn't get it on the agenda in time?
I didn't catch it.
Okay, and nobody objected at that time, so there was no breach of the rules. That's Robert's Rules of Order, page 243.
Fine. I really don't want to argue about Robert's rules. The question is, do we move it or do we not? And one can interpret whether it was or was not.
Under Robert's Rules of Order, it was not.
Okay.
It did not violate any procedures because nobody objected. And we went forward.
We have
it's
a point
water
of
under the bridge.
Yes, go ahead.
Are the affiliates here?
Yes.
That we can, I mean, more than just here?
Jim is the other affiliates representative. And we've scheduled some time tomorrow where affiliates from any affiliate who wants to call in and speak
so
to the board can do so.
Move this to tomorrow.
We're just trying to. Bill's argument was we should move this motion to rescind till after we heard from those folks. But it's the motion itself just says we're going to move it from wherever it is on the agenda now, which is sort of about eighth in unfinished business, to 11 o'clock on Sunday. So that's the motion in front of us. Could we go to a vote on that?
I'd like to speak to the motion.
Okay.
First of all, to start off with the reasoning that you just made, Mr. Chair, we passed a whole bunch of motions this morning that didn't have 7 day notice, and it seems to me that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. This motion has been subject to discussion since April, which is way more than seven days, and has afforded any and everybody an opportunity to say whatever it was that they wanted to say about it, and they did. The notion of moving it up and rehashing is a continuation of the churning and the dissension and the politicizing of an effort to realize the potential of the affiliates task force, and I vigorously object.
Leslie?
I'd like to put... Am I on here? There I go. I'd like to point out to this body that this is a motion to rescind. It is in order at this time. The question of the original motion is really not germane to this discussion. We're simply asking that this motion to rescind close this business one way or another, that we make a final determination on the affiliates after hearing from the affiliates, and that we don't leave them in limbo until, you know, next 2 or 3 months or when we meet in New York. And I think that's fair to the affiliates to bring some closure to this at this time. I'd like to see this business finally settled and we can move on. That would be my argument in favor of moving it to a time certain on Sunday.
Can we go to a vote on this now? Jim?
Yeah,
I also want to mention that the Affiliates Task Force did take a vote at its last meeting and wanted to recommend to the board to reconsider this earlier motion that passed in April.
Richard?
I think that the motion that passed in LA was whatever, it passed, and this is a motion to rescind, and this fits Robert's rules, and all in the world this is move it from one point of the agenda to another point in the agenda. It will be considered.
Okay, can we go to a vote on moving it? Okay. All those in favor of moving it till 11 a.m. on Sunday, please raise your hand. Okay. Yes, okay, that's eight. I count eight. All those opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six. I count six, so the motion passes. It's now rescheduled for 11 a.m. on Sunday. Are there any other changes to the agenda?
I forgot my book, but I wanted to add the discussion.
We put it on.
We
put 45 minutes for it. Does that sound about right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other changes to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, the agenda is approved. The next item is acknowledgments. This is a chance for people to acknowledge people in the network, people who on staff who they want to acknowledge. Before I do that, actually, I do want to establish a timekeeper. Would someone keep time on this? No. Campbell. Great. This has 5 minutes. Campbell. Leslie?
Yes, as I hope we do three times a year, I want to commend our station staff and our listeners for understanding how much we appreciate their work during the fund drive, we do understand how hard that is for everybody, and we certainly want to appreciate the staff who spent many hours on the project this year. This time around, and I want to thank all the listeners too who stepped up and understood that KPFK really does need their support. Thank you very much.
Rico Ross, KPFK. I'd like to concur with what Leslie Radford just said. I'd also like to commend Tracy Rosenberg and the Coordinating Committee for arranging our in-person meeting here, and at such advance notice, actually getting it together and giving people a real window to schedule around our plans.
Tracy?
Well, since we're here in the Bay Area, I wanted to acknowledge KPFA staff, especially some afternoon programmers, for what I think was some really excellent programming that was put together around a local breaking news event that was very important in this community, which was the verdict on the trial of Johannes Messerli for the New Year's Day 2009 BART murder of Oscar Grant. There was a two-hour program the afternoon of the verdict when riots were expected in the city of Oakland, which is right down the way, and people really worked together to cover it and cover it well, and I think they deserve our congratulations for that effort.
Arlene.
I want to acknowledge Brian DeShazer and the archive staff for winning the Bader Award. They were honored at NFCB this year, and I think that's something that we should all feel very proud of.
Arlene, would you say what the Bader Award is for the listeners?
The Bader Award is an award that's given to someone for excellence in service to community or public radio over a period of time, either for some very special event or for a lifetime or a long period of service.
Thank you. Bill?
I just want to recognize our great technical staff, Otis McClay and John Avila, for giving up, I don't know how many evenings a month to stream stream and archive our many, many committee meetings as well as the DMV meetings.
We accept it. Oh.
Thanks, Otis and John.
Jim?
Yes, I'd like to acknowledge Ursula Rudenberg, our affiliates coordinator, for her leadership and the Radio South project that just been successfully completed.
And would you say what the Radio South project was?
I would rather Ursula say what that is. But maybe she'll say that tomorrow. So
She'll have a chance to report tomorrow. Just very briefly, what is it?
Well, I could read to you from the project coordinator's letter if you want.
Briefly.
This time. Okay. Progressives in the Florida Panhandle would like to share our very exciting news. The FCC approved our application for a new non-commercial community-based radio station in Port St. Joe, Florida. This is an incredible event with so much promise for bringing progressive views to this very conservative area of the country, and we owe it all to Pacifica's Ursula Rudenberg, who put together the Radio South project that has provided the outreach to our community and has been there for continued support throughout the process. Were it not for Ursula's leadership and continued assistance holding our hand all through the process, we would not have this great opportunity. Ursula has been incredible every step of the way with advice, encouragement, assistance as needed, and patience for the past 3 years.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like one more, and that is to the general manager and for interim general managers of the stations who've come together this weekend for the first time in over a year and a half to work as a team with the rest of the national staff. The sharing and the jumping in to help each other yesterday as we met late into the night was just really incredible. And I think that this kind of face-to-face teamwork is what's going to help move us forward as a network.
Afia?
I wanted to acknowledge the coalition Radio for All, which not only formulated AudioPort, which is the key element of the selling of Pacifica to affiliates, but also actually did the project to which Jim refers. And to acknowledge David Beaton, whose seat he holds, which actually did the work to obtain the license or the construction permit for the radio station in Port St. Joe, Florida.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Okay. Anybody just has to make another acknowledgement. Okay, let's move on then. The next item on the agenda is a report from me. We're going to make a practice from now on at the open meetings that I will report out what happened at the executive committee, the last executive committee meeting, or the last couple of executive committee meetings. At the last one, which was, I'm afraid I don't remember the date. It was about 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks. No, I just said it was July 2nd. On July 2nd, in executive session, we discussed issues surrounding the election. There was no motion passed. Okay. The next item is a report from the ED. Arlene?
You were fast. Sorry, I still have a mouthful. Okay, I just wanted to swallow. First, I want to thank every one of you for the support you have given me and for your commitment to Pacifica Radio. As a former community radio board member and board president, I know how much time and energy your dedication takes. As I talk to our listeners, current, past, and potential, in our listening areas, I am reminded that listeners at all of our stations have very similar goals and needs. They want informative, entertaining, uplifting programming that enables them to enrich their lives. Over and over, they tell me how important Pacifica is, how much they need progressive media, and yes, including arts and culture. They tell me how they plan their lives to accommodate listening to Democracy Now!, news, and other public affairs programs, how important they are to them, and how much they also value music and arts programming. They urge me to do something about the infighting at Pacifica, and particularly to keep it off the airwaves. They want public affairs programming that provides new, progressive insight and information, along with suggestions for possible action. They want to experience the sense of hope that accompanies the belief that there are ways that they can participate and contribute to change in this world. To move Pacifica forward, we must take steps to stabilize income and expenses at all of our units. We must become more efficient in our on-air fund drives and diversify our revenue sources. We can accomplish these goals in several ways. Training for better on-air pitching. Identify and take steps to improve fulfillment of on-air pledges. Cultivate a relationship with our members that increases member retention. Implement outreach to increase listenership and consequently membership. Identify and cultivate potential large donors. Remember that we were founded using many volunteers, and we need to return to these roots and increase our use of volunteers. In the national office, with our CFO now there full-time, we are working to improve our financial well-being in several ways. Regular monthly reporting and analysis, implementing the financial accountability plan, correcting the deficits cited in the management letter from our auditor. LeVar and I will be meeting with the auditor in the next couple of weeks to go over these points and identify further corrective action and accountability. Working on revised financial policies and procedures. Working with each unit and the NFC to develop budgets that are realistic and balanced. And I want to particularly acknowledge what LeVar has done, and that is that she has set up monthly, I believe they're monthly, meetings with the business managers and frequent meetings with the database and development directors at each of the stations and worked with them on specifics at each of these meetings. They know in advance what issues are going to be addressed. They know what kind of information they should come prepared with, and then they share with each other. And I've listened in on some of these meetings, and they are excellent, and they are beginning to move our staff at the station level forward to a better level of functioning. In addition, I've been working with KPFA to implement cuts in the salary and related expense area that will bring their expenses into balance with their revenue. They expect to have the salary line on an annual basis down to approximately $1.25 million before the start of the next fiscal year. And it looks like that should put them in good position to be operating within the income that we can reasonably expect them to bring in. Ricardo and I are working with WBAI to determine if it is possible to cut their current rent or to determine if we need to find a more reasonable location to move to when the lease expires. And with the appointment of Bertolt, we've also brought him into those discussions. I worked with WPFW to borrow and install a backup transmitter from WMNF. Thanks to work by Grigsby, John Almela, and Bill Brown, engineer at WMNF, WPFW saved several thousand dollars on this work. Hopefully, and I would like to say it is imperative that they have their main transmitter back in service before their next fund drive and be operating as close to full power as possible. Bob Conger's also been needs some help. If anybody has contacts at a high level at Verizon, they have a booster in Malibu, but it needs some electrical work that they're being quoted $30,000 for. And if Verizon would jump in on this, it could probably be done at much, much less cost. So if anyone has contacts, I'm asking you to please share them with either Jennifer Kaiser or me so that we can try to help Bob out in making this operational. Our programming can help to establish our presence as a national network and as a presence in the progressive community. I've been meeting with some national organizations. I have met with Amy Goodman to further develop our relationship with Democracy Now! And received a follow-up call from Amy on Tuesday morning expressing her understanding that increasing the financial health of Pacifica is the top priority right now and wishing us well as we move forward toward that objective. I have also had several meetings with Free Speech Radio News. I've been working to contact Helen Thomas to see if she would be interested in providing news commentary on Pacifica. I've left phone messages and sent her a personal letter, and I have one person in Washington working to make personal contact, and now I'm pulling Grigsby into that circle, too, and hopefully he may be able to accomplish what we haven't been able to do yet. I'm pretty sure I had her on the phone once, but she claimed to be someone helping out in the household and that she'd give her the message. The voice sure sounded familiar, though. I am working with representatives from several national organizations, and I'm setting up a committee to prioritize network programming and coverage of national events. As a network, we participated in the kickoff for Michelle Obama's childhood obesity program and provided coverage of, excuse me, of the Elena Kagan confirmation hearings. I've received emails and calls of concern about some of the alternative health programming and some of the alternative health thank you gifts. I recommend that the programming committee consider what is the responsibility of stations or Pacifica for information presented on our airwaves. How do we determine what is appropriate and what isn't? I set up a committee that is working with the technical and affiliate staff to complete the automation of audio port along with instructions for implementation. This work is progressing. The goal is completion by August 31st, but I'm told it may be a little behind that. I've discussed a number of issues with John Krigler and will discuss them with staff at the national staff meeting that was yesterday. I'll follow up with memos about these areas, but they involved FCC and IRS regulations regarding political candidates. I want to emphasize to everyone here that we need to be watchdogs of our airwaves. There must be strict adherence to showing no endorsement, actual or implied, of political candidates by our programmers on air. Violations can result in penalties from both the FCC and the IRS, including the loss of nonprofit status, and that could apply to the entire network. So we need to be really careful about this. What a guest says, you know, endorsing another candidate is perfectly acceptable. But as a programmer on the airwaves or as a staff person on the airwaves, we must not do any endorsing or show favoritism to any political candidates. The question came up about editorializing on our airwaves. Editorials and positions on issues are allowed. If done frequently, it is important to keep records documenting that less than 5% of revenues are spent on lobbying. I don't really see that being a problem for any of our stations, but that's what the rules are. Airing material with sexual content. At this time, we should continue to avoid this. The recent court decision in New York does not give us the leeway to relax our rules on the seven words or on sexual content. There's at least one more court ruling before there's any determination of possible relaxation. John Krigler thinks there's a good chance that this is eventually going to be ruled as with more liberality as a free speech issue. But at this point, the fines can be as much as $375,000 for a single word. We can't afford that. And the last issue that I discussed with John involved interns, and I don't know if any of you saw it, but in the business section of the New York Times on July 4th, there was a piece regarding changes in possibilities for interns at companies around the country. They were talking more about corporations than they were nonprofits, but federal rules have come down very strictly on the fact that interns cannot in any way replace or appear to replace paid positions. This kind of sent a chill up my spine and made me kind of substitute the word volunteer and think, woo. So John said that this has been explored a bit. There's a law firm they work with in Seattle that actually did some work for Pacifica 2 or 3 years ago on this area, along with another nonprofit. And he thinks we would be wise to begin to think in terms of developing some guidelines as to what a volunteer position is, you know, what makes it a volunteer position as opposed to a paid position, et cetera. And so we will be moving forward with some exploration and and thinking in that area. It's also very important that every station be up to date on the reporting and sound exchange. In my report, I had initially said I'd been told by John Krigler that WPFW had actually reported. They've been exploring it, and they're trying to get it up to speed. They're getting close, as I understand it, but actually four of our stations are totally up to speed, and WPFW will be, and all stations must be before the end of the year. Thanks to John Almela and Otis for all the work that they have done in this area and helping the stations, Otis in developing the Confessor program that most of our stations are using, etc. The affiliate program was represented at both NFCB and GRC. At NFCB, we had two lively and stimulating meetings with affiliates. Ursula Rudenberg did an excellent job promoting the affiliate program and organizing these meetings, as well as signing up some new affiliates while we were in St. Paul. The Bader Award, as I mentioned earlier, was presented to Brian DeShazer and the archives at NFCB. Congratulations to Brian and his staff. It was a joy to participate in this and to have Brian's proud mom there to celebrate with us. In the personnel area, I continue to urge the MAS committees to move with speed to determine recommended candidates for GM at their stations. I had asked stations to present a candidate list to me by July 15th, but they have not been able to move that quickly. I urge them to move forward as quickly as possible. We need the increased stability of permanent GMs at every station. We did get reports on the process from three of the four committees, and we appreciate their efforts in getting that information to us. Ahmad will talk more about that. I replaced Muriel Tillinghast as interim general manager at WBAI and appointed Berthold Reimers. Berthold is working with the staff and me to solve the most pressing problems: installation of the new phone system, issues with premium fulfillment, and other issues with fund drives, including action to immediately increase fulfillment ratio and developing a realistic budget for 2011. Berthold is working two jobs at the moment, but he will be full-time at WBAI beginning July 26th. And I think, Berthold, for people who haven't met you. Yesterday we had a meeting of the general managers in my office along with the rest of the staff, national staff, Ursula and Brian. I have to say it was a joy to sit in a meeting where there was so much teamwork, such enthusiasm, and such sharing of ideas and willingness to help each other. Some great ideas came forth. KPFK said, gee, maybe we can send somebody up to WBAI to help with their website. There were all kinds of things that were flowing back and forth, and it's exciting to see this kind of cooperation and enthusiasm from our staff. We know it's there, but when you put it in one room, the feeling is actually palpable, and I can't tell you how much it energizes me to have that kind of committed staff working with me on a regular basis. I'm working with the station GMs to develop a grievance procedure for network-wide use. We must use internal remedies to deal with internal issues. Lawsuits are one of the biggest drains on our finances. Ricardo will report on the status of legal cases. I have worked on a number of legal issues, particularly the Cohen case. We must work to settle these cases wherever possible and to diminish lawsuits as an accepted means of expressing frustration. I have worked with the GMs at all five stations regarding the election. They all report that their LESs are working effectively and that the election is progressing. Thanks to John and Otis for all their excellent technical work for Pacifica. I have asked them to change our email from Gmail, although this is presenting some serious problems, so whether it will happen or not, I'm not sure. But I'm concerned that Google saves all emails that are sent via Gmail. In closing, once again, I repeat the importance of treating each other with dignity and respect. Our abuse of each other damages us in the eyes of our listeners and the public and diminishes our effectiveness as a progressive organization. We need to work on teamwork, to concentrate on our common goals while we respect our differences. Our common goals are far more prevalent than our differences. let's acknowledge that and move toward those that common ground. Perception is often more important than reality in establishing credibility.
Thank you, Aline. Questions? Okay, so I saw Kimmery, Leslie, and Afia. Kimmery, go ahead.
You caught me in a clap.
Oh, is that right? Leslie?
Oh. Yeah, thank you, Arlene, for that wonderful report. A couple of questions here. On the paragraph where you say, I am working with representatives from several national organizations and am setting up a committee to prioritize network programming and coverage of national events. I'd like to hear a few more details about that. And my second question would be, you mentioned something called the Confessor Program.
The Confessor Program is the program that in which people report their playlist.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, that's not my name for it. That's Otis's. Oh, yeah, John. Okay. The National Programming Initiative is I'm setting up a task force that involves the program directors and or the GMs from each of the stations and several other national people to work on determining events that we should be at least offering some coverage of, not dictating this to stations, but finding ways that we can get national coverage of things, not just the Elena Kagan hearings, but one of the things that came up, I believe it was yesterday in the, I can't remember when it was, but in one of the discussions, someone said, I love to hear, I think it was Otis actually, hearings, and that there are some fascinating hearings, like the hearings going on right now about BP, and that occasionally we might be covering something like this. There are some national events. I think that the Oscar Grant situation came down and was covered in the international media, and I think that we should have been offering some on-the-spot coverage to all of our stations during that time, and I'm sorry that that didn't happen. So there are events like that that this group would also help to determine where do we put the limited resources we have in order to make some of these things happen. What's the most important? What should we give a priority to? And I do have a whole plan that I, a start of a plan that I submitted to George and put out several, I think it was at the Los Angeles meeting, and I can forward that to you if you'd like.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the explanation.
Any other questions? Oh, Fia.
The contacts that you've listed, given the fact that Pacifica is in severe financial difficulty, what do you see coming from the contacts and as generating funds for Pacifica, increased membership? How does it address the financial health of the organization is my first question.
Some of these things should improve programming, which over a period of time, those are not, programming is not going to be an immediate answer. Training with some of the aspects of marathon as we, or of fund drives as we can help stations either with pitching or with help in the way they fulfill or in bringing up their fulfillment rate. Those are things that we can offer advice and expertise to stations in that can immediately increase the revenues that they bring in. So some of those things are relatively immediate. We also have ideas. One involves a fall mailing that I'm hoping we'll adopt and do that I think could benefit us across the network.
Is it your expectation that the national contacts that you've made, that those fall mailing will be sent to the members of their organizations?
If available, we'd like to test, or I'll put it this way, it's been suggested that we test, you know, three or four outside lists, but the people that I've been working with probably aren't the people that have mailing lists available, but rather people that might bring more visibility to us. That would be their contribution, and it wouldn't necessarily result in direct financial contribution.
Also, we recently learned that NFCB received a $300,000 grant for providing services to African American radio stations, and I'm concerned that Pacifica does not appear to have applied for the grant. And my question is why not?
When I found out about this, which was maybe a month, 6 weeks before NFCB, I started making contacts asking if we were eligible, and the answer that I got was that it was basically for, you probably know the acronym, and I don't, but right now it's escaping me, but basically African-American college and university stations is what they told me that was basically set aside for, that they had considered putting Pacifica in the group, but they hadn't, and at that point it was already determined.
The RFP makes no such limitation. I would call attention to that fact, that it's simply African-American public radio stations.
I had asked on the basis of WPFW, and I believe that WPFW does have some money coming in from that. I'd also asked on the basis of WBAI. Those were the two that I was inquiring specifically about. I'll do some further exploration of it, Afia, but that was the answers I was given at that point in time.
Did you not read the RFP?
No, I did not. I don't think I've ever seen the RFP.
I have a question. The Confessor program.
Yes.
Is that something which there's a market for? I mean, lots of other people must be having to do this task.
We've made it available, or it's available to the affiliates so long as they have the necessary hardware. Right? Is that the right term, Otis? Or John? A server?
A computer.
Yeah. Right. A dedicated computer, isn't it, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Are there commercial stations we could sell it to? They have their own?
It would take marketing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not obvious, and there's some competition. But we did make a brochure.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, hearing none.
Yeah, I do. Okay. Am I on? Am I on? Thank you. Yeah, I was wondering, what do you guys have anything more planned for trying to widen the brand of Pacifica and the different radio and the five radio stations in particular?
What do you mean by widen the brand? Do you mean publicity campaigns?
Or? Yes, exactly. I mean, before we were talking about the possibility of doing things that didn't cost very much but actually got out there, like bus benches and side of buses and things of that nature that didn't really cost a lot of money but also helped to get a certain amount of exposure. I'm just wondering whether that is an issue that we're considering, because as we know, you know, we can do fundraisers till we die. But we have to come up with more creative ways of coming up with memberships, which would bring in funds.
Yeah, you're right about that, Rico, and it's not something that I've devoted very much time to, except that I have participated in the Promotions Task Force meetings and have been working with them, and so they have been dealing with some of those issues. But as Sean has very ably pointed out, we spent something like $26,000 on any kind of PR or promotion last year, and that's not much money. That's not going to get you very much exposure. It's something we need more of, very definitely.
I mean, I know at a time when we're falling short of our budget each year, but it seems like it would be money well spent if you spend, you know, $100,000 and all of a sudden find out that you increased $250,000. You know, that's 150 profit. So that's the kind of smart thinking I'm thinking. Instead of working hard all the time, we have to also work smart.
You are absolutely right.
I like it when you say that.
Do you, Arlene, view the financial health fundraising as a part of your job?
Yes, I do. But in all honesty, there have been a lot of priorities in the last few months. And I'm not making excuses, but dealing with trying to fill management positions, chasing large checks, trying to cut waste in some areas have taken a lot of time in the last 6 months, and there are a lot of things still to be done, and I wish really there were two of me so that I could do twice as much, but there aren't.
Do you anticipate putting together a proposal to address the financial status of the organization, and if so, when?
Laverne and I will certainly be working together on that, yes.
When?
Some of it she's got right now, and we'll certainly be doing an end-of-the-year status and moving forward as we get the budgets, as we're working on the budgets, and as we are looking at the cash flow for the next several months.
So is your response that the January incoming board in January can expect a proposal from you addressing the financial well-being of the foundation?
Yes, definitely by then.
Do we have any more time, Campbell?
Time's just up.
Okay. We're going to move on to reports from the GMs and the archive manager. Yes.
I have just a little more. In terms of addressing the overall financial picture of the foundation, I think yesterday's meeting where, you know, we brought the players in. I'm sorry, I don't mean that in a negative way, but you know, the GMs in to address with them what the major issues are, and we do have some actions that we have that Arlene has put in place to address exactly issues with the current financial position of the station, and I'll communicate those tomorrow, of the network rather, in terms of putting some things in place this last quarter. And like we talked about this morning, we have the budgets, we already have budgets, and we'll have those ready to discuss and to review. So we have actually started this process. You know, when Arlene brought up the general managers, we had some pretty frank, you know, everything on the table discussions yesterday. So we are the actions are there to do exactly what you're saying.
Is that to say that we should not expect to have permanent general managers in place before January?
I'll throw that back to Arlene.
No, that's not to say that at all. What we're saying is that we're working with the people that are in place right now, and as we have list of candidates coming in from the local LSBs, I will be acting on it immediately to move through the hiring process. But as I'm sure you're aware, according to our bylaws, it starts at the LSB level. We have advertised, we have funneled resumes through as fast as they've come in. The LSBs are looking at them, and as I say, three of the LSBs have submitted their status to us, you know, reports that Ahmad will be covering. One of them did not get any information to us and is not returning phone calls. But I'm moving in every way I can to light fires under them to move as quickly as possible. We need permanent general managers, as I stated in my report. I think that is perhaps, if not the most important thing that I'm working on, it certainly is one of the most important.